Good morning again. As Krista mentioned earlier, this is the first of a two-week short series called Enough. And in our world today, it can be difficult to say enough in just about every area of our life. Almost every time we turn around, we can find ourselves wanting more. And when it comes to our financial lives, in that area, it can be especially difficult to say enough. But as we look through the Gospels, we see that Jesus had more to say about money than any other subject except for the kingdom of God. It obviously mattered to Jesus. 19 out of Jesus' 30 parables were about economic matters. Almost two-thirds of his parables were about how do we deal with our finances in a godly way. The lost coin, the parable of the talents, and on and on. The Bible has literally thousands of statements on handling our finances in a way that pleases God. Question, how are people doing today in our culture when it comes to living with financial wisdom from a godly perspective? How are folks in our church doing today when it comes to living with financial wisdom from a godly perspective? I'd want to suggest, at least in our world today, not terribly well. So today I'd like to look with you at some of the principles that the Bible gives on wise financial living. And I actually hope to briefly consider with you 10 of these biblical principles. So today I'm calling this message 10 Financial Commandments, if you will. And we're going to be looking at many different passages of Scripture today. If you have your Bible with you, please be ready. We're going to do some almost some Bible sword drill today. Also, inside your bulletin, you might find it helpful. There's 10 points, 10 commandments. There's a sermon outline on that white piece of paper inside your bulletin. We're going to start today with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God says there through Peter, God says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Let's pray. Father, we continue. Father, we wait on you today. And Father, this is such a difficult area. It's difficult to teach on, difficult to preach on, difficult to receive. We're under, as you know, Father, great cultural pressure in this area. But Father, what you've put on our hearts here and our minds at Northwest is to worship you and to grow with you and to serve you. And Father, we know that your desire is for us to do that in every area of our lives. So Father, we ask for your help, that we would worship you with how we handle our money. Father, that we would grow in how we handle our finances. And Father, that we would use our finances, use our possessions to serve you and to serve others. Father, we can only do this with your help. And so, Father, we ask for a true outpouring of your Spirit to where each one of us may be today. Father, we ask that you would speak. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, for the next few moments, we're going to be looking at 10 financial commandments. And ask if we'll be willing to live financially wise lives according to Scripture. So are you ready for that? You all excited about that? All right, here we go. Commandment number one, thou shalt remember who the owner is. Thou shalt remember who the owner is. Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Who's the owner? Sometimes we can get really confused about this. There's an old account from a theological journal called Reader's Digest. And this account goes like this. There's a traveler between flights at an airport, and she goes into a lounge, and she buys a bag of cookies. And she sits down, and she begins reading her newspaper there at the airport. And gradually, she becomes aware of sort of a rustling noise coming from behind the newspaper. And she's flabbergasted to see this neatly dressed man reaching in her bag and grabbing one of her cookies. Not wanting to make a scene, she leans over and grabs one of those cookies for herself. A minute or two more passes and she hears some more rustling. He was helping himself to another one of her cookies. So she grabbed another one. This went on and until eventually they were down to one last cookie. which the man took and broke, and he pushed half over to her, and then he ate the other, and then he got up and left. She was still fuming about this sometime later when the call was made that her flight was about to depart. So she reached into her purse to grab her ticket, and there inside her purse, she found her bag of unopened cookies. Not only had he not been eating her cookies, but she had been eating his cookies. And how I deal with cookies depends a lot on whose cookies I think they are. And the biblical writers, in a way of speaking, they addressed this many years ago. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. God says, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Very powerful verses there. But we live in a part of the world where we can be tempted to think, my power, my strength, my brains, my creativity, my resources. So commandment number one is, remember who the owner is. The second financial commandment is, thou shalt embrace thy work. Thou shalt embrace thy work. This is from Colossians 3, verses 23 through 25. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And I just want to pause here. When Paul talks about whatever you do here, what does he mean? He means whatever you do. So whatever work you may do, whether you get paid for it or not, if it's work you do at your job, if it's work you do at your house, if it's work you do at this church, whatever work you do, do it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. What a radical idea. You hear what God is saying there? God's saying whatever you do when you work, don't do it for the boss. Work for the Lord, because it's him that gave you the ability to even be able to work. And then here's the kind of the tough part, this very next verse. Anyone who does wrong, in other words, anybody who does not do this, anybody who does not work for the Lord, anybody who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is no favoritism. That's very sobering. That's the living God saying, if we don't work for him, we'll be repaid for that. That ought to get our attention. Does anybody here ever complain about work? I know a pastor's job is supposed to be nothing but roses, but I have to admit, I sometimes complain about my job too. But it's easy. All of us, I think, we can complain about our work. It's a funny thing. We face some pretty serious unemployment right now in the United States. The last time I looked, it was between about 6% and 7%. But in other parts of the world, it is much worse. In Spain and in Greece right now, unemployment is over 25%. And in other places like American Samoa and Kenya and Haiti, unemployment is over 40%. And when unemployment gets that high, it is devastating to the human spirit. It is devastating. We'd all would like a day off. I mean, most of us, whew, that'd be so nice. But it's a little different when that goes day after day after day. Because people who have literally nothing to do, they just sit around day after day, that grinds down the human spirit. No doubt there are often thorns where we work. Thorns because this is a fallen world in which we live. But even thorny work can bring us much satisfaction if we allow God to work through us. And how often do we get down on our knees? When was the last time you earnestly prayed, God, yeah, there's problems, but God, thank you for my work. Thank you for the ability to work for you. Thank you that I can earn a living. Thank you that I can go and serve you through my work. But the truth is, that's not really part of our culture. Have you ever noticed that there's no restaurant called TGI Mondays? There's no commercials that say, thank God it's Monday. It's just not in our culture really at all. But one of the great contributions that the Bible made to the ancient world was the idea that all human labor is an honor. All human labor, no matter what it is, if it's done for the Lord, All human labor carries great dignity. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says this. We're going to look at Proverbs a lot today because it has so much to say on this area of financial wisdom. Proverbs 22, 29 says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings." And if we're followers of Jesus, the Bible says that when we work, whether we get a paycheck or not, whatever it is that we're doing, we ought to do it with a great attitude, with great diligence, and a great work ethic. And let me just pause right there too. Why is that so important? It's so important whether you're getting paid or not to have a great attitude and a great work ethic. Why? Because that brings God glory. When you're working and working for Him, that's a way of praising God. But it's more than that. If you go to work every day or most days and you're just kind of grumbling and, man, I hate to be here and, man, this is awful, and you're constantly griping about your job, and then you say, but I love Jesus, what are people learning about your faith? What are people learning about the power of Jesus Christ? What a difference, though. It's not to be phony, just to be real. You start off the day, God, thank you that I can go to work today. And God, you know there's a lot of garbage that I have to deal with, but thank you that I can go there and do it for you. And God, help me to do it with an incredible attitude. And Father, when people see that attitude, let them see you. What a difference. And it's an opportunity to minister. Somebody walks up to you and says, I don't get this. This job, I mean, why are you having such a good attitude? What does that do? That just opens the door for you to say, you know what? I never could if I was doing this on my own. But I serve a mighty God. And He makes this job real. And He makes it matter. Because I'm doing it for Him. So I can do it with a great attitude. You can know that God too. Followers of Jesus ought to be great workers with a great attitude. It honors God. And this is central to financial wisdom. So, number one, remember who the owner is. Number two, embrace your work. Financial commandment number three, thou shalt not fall deeply into debt. It's a tough one. Thou shalt not fall deeply into debt. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says this. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And we live in a day when people just get devastated by debt. Suppose someone has a credit card debt of $15,000. And you might say, whew, that sounds pretty large. That's the average U.S. Household credit card debt today. The average in this country is credit card debt only, $15,000. Suppose somebody has that kind of credit card debt, and this guy says, you know what? That's going to stop today. I'm going to find out the minimum monthly payment, and I'm going to start paying it off until it's gone. Let's look at some of the math on this for just a moment. With an interest rate of something like 18%, and it can go